Greetings in the name of Jesus. It's been a joy to be here thus far. Thank you for the singing, Alex. Great selections. I would like you to turn to the longest chapter in the Bible, okay? In verse 72. Somebody want to tell me which chapter I'm looking for? I think I heard it, Psalm 119. Maybe you could argue it's not a chapter. Some people say, don't say Psalm chapter. It's a psalm. Psalm 119, verse 72. I would like to read this verse kind of as an introduction. Psalm 19 has how many verses? Like 176 verses. So if you want to use a sense of humor, and I do this periodically when maybe your family doesn't face this, but when you have a few minutes for family devotions, because somebody has to leave or somebody has plans and happens in our house, we just have a few minutes, and I say, turn to Psalm 119, and everybody will read each verse, and then everybody will share a couple thoughts on each verse. Psalm 119, verse 72, it says, "The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver." Now, I'd like to echo a little bit what Mike said in thanking you all for the hard work many of you put into making last week happen. An event that happens like that don't just happen. There's a lot of planning, there's commitment. And probably one of the highlights, well, there's two highlights. One of the highlights was on the night that the weather was really threatening. It was a tough call to have it or not. And then the Lord just blew the storm over and we had nice weather the whole time. But my phone rang at about 6 o'clock, one hour, 15 minutes before it was supposed to start. And somebody from the community was wondering, are we going to have it or not? Is it going to be on? And that just was a blessing to me. And to see the community involvement, and many of you made connections, that was just a tremendous blessing. The second highlight, it's hard to categorize highlights because probably the rich young ruler drama was a highlight too. Maybe I should get them to reenact that for those of you that didn't get the privilege to see it. When Steve would hold up the sign and everybody would quote the verse, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And then that song, "I have a wonderful treasure." It topped off with the last night, that big old treasure chest. And I heard some of the community children say, "It's gonna be Bibles, it's gonna be Bibles." In the treasure chest. Treasuring God's Word. That's the title of the message this morning. You children inspired me during Bible school as I sat in one of those wooden benches. I believe the Lord spoke to me and said, "There's your message for Sunday." Sometimes, yeah, Tuesday, Wednesday comes and I'm not sure what the Lord wants me to share on a Sunday morning. But I was just so blessed with that idea of God's Word being a treasure. And that just kind of was the theme the entire week. And lest we forget it, I think we should sing it. Let's all stand. Let's all stand and sing this. Steve, you did such a good job of leading it. Lead it. Go ahead.
I have a wonderful treasure, the gift of God without measure. We will travel together, my Bible and I.
Now that we did it, let's do it again.
I have a wonderful treasure, the gift of God without measure. We will travel together, my Bible and I.
You may be seated. Praise the Lord. That is what I would like to share about tonight. In the verse that I read as an introduction, David said, "The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver." Well, maybe I can't be positive David wrote this psalm, but it is a powerful verse. And I don't know if you checked the price of gold lately. Now, can you honestly say that, knowing that the price of gold is an astronomical figure, and if you'd have 1,000 little pieces, maybe not even an ounce, you say, nope. The law of thy mouth, God, is better. In other words, I would rather have the Bible than 1,000 pieces of gold and silver, treasuring God's word. That's the subject this morning. Sometimes I am very intrigued by Bible characters. And I have, you probably heard me say, this is my favorite Bible character, because I have so many. And I got to start saying, this is one of my favorite Bible characters. Because whoever I'm studying on, that's probably my favorite at the moment. One of my favorite Bible characters is the man named Job. I can't say I really, really enjoy reading the book of Job. I can't say that. Because chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 40 are really exciting. But then you have that whole mess in the middle with the friends trying to put their 2 cents in and trying to straighten him out, not understanding the backstory. And I say that's life. Job 40 would never be Job 40 without all those chapters in the middle. But how can a man be so solid? How can a man have all hell released against him, destroying everything he has, even a lot of his family? How can a man stand up when his wife says, "Job, honey, why don't you just curse God? Curse him and die." How can a man stand in that kind of turmoil and say, "Blessed is the name of the Lord. He gives, he takes away. I'm going to bless his name." How can a man be that way? How can another way to look at angle to look at Job is, how can the God of heaven tell Satan himself, "I know that man. I know him. He's perfect. He's upright. He fears God and he eschews evil." God told Satan that. God said, "That's my man." And you know the story. Satan said, "Well, I know why he is the way he is, because you give him all the goods." And, okay, I'll take that. It's kind of hard. It hurts me to think God actually saying, "Okay, have at him, but don't kill him." And he and Satan have at him. And in the middle of all that, Job was solid. Maybe Job failed a little bit when his 4 friends came and pounded him from every angle and said, "You're a sinner. This wouldn't be happening to you if you would be a man of God," and so on. And sometimes I think he got a little defensive, but I don't know how I'd handle it. My question is, what made Job Job? I think I found a clue. Here it is. Job 23, verse 12. I think this is the best clue why Job was Job. Job says, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." I get pretty hungry, and I like to eat when I'm hungry. I reckon you do too. Are you ever hungry of soul? Are you hungry in your spirit? That appetite makes your physical hunger pains pale. I'm a kindergartner. Join me in class. Treasuring God's word. I think I found the clue in the book of Job. I haven't gone back from a commandment. In other words, if God says it, I'm going to do it. God's word isn't just a few principles. I'm a man of application. I apply principles. That's what Job was saying. And then he says, I have esteemed the words of my mouth, of his mouth, more than my necessary food. Wow. Okay, so I'm going to approach the subject of the treasuring God's word. Three primary points, and I admit that they very much overlap. But the first one I'm going to look at is, be a man or a woman of the word. Be a man of the word. And I ask you the question, are you a man? Are you a man of the word? Women, are you a woman of the word? I was praying with a man that I call a man of the word. And I was in my study, it was a long, long time ago. We were on our knees in my study. And he said, I like to pray with somebody. I mean, I like to pray with people. And he said, when I pray with people, it doesn't take very long to figure out if they're a man of the word or not. And I'll admit to you, I was a little afraid to pray with them. Because the fear of man, I struggle with it probably just like you do. But I haven't forgotten that. Praying. I think they're synonymous. I think men of the word, there's something about their prayer life. And I'm not saying we should be analyzing men and women if they're a man of the word or a woman of the word. All I'm saying is be a man of the word. Be a woman of the word. And I've heard that statement already about somebody. And I heard a description. That's a man of the word. Another phrase you might hear about someone is, that's a man of faith. That's a woman of faith. You may hear that more than a man of the word, a woman of the word. Man of faith. I mean, you might think of George Mueller, Hudson Taylor, Menno Simons, some of those, George Blaurock, some of those heroes of faith that we look back in history and say, they had incredible faith. I would just like to reference, here's a verse. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if you want to be a man of faith, a woman of faith, a man of the word, a woman of the word, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that's in Romans 10. And that's, of course, in the context of how shall they hear if they don't have a preacher, and how shall they go if they're not sent, and so on. And the idea is get the word of God throughout the whole world. Oh, be a man of the word. Be a woman of the word. Be a man of faith. Be a woman of faith. And when the children took their Bibles, I don't know what happened to the Bibles since Thursday night. I'm wondering if some of those Bibles were opened. If they're stuck in a treasure chest somewhere and never opened, it's not going to be of much value. Closed Bibles, somebody said closed Bibles will equal anxiety and depression, and they made a long list of things we don't enjoy. Open Bibles is the remedy for all those same things. Anyway, I'm hoping that that the Word of God is going to take effect in not only the children, but all of our hearts. This was said of Timothy. From a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. Just a little word here to Sunday school teachers. Just a little word to those of you that were involved in sharing the word at Bible school. Just a word here to parents who sit your children down and diligently teach the Bible. Maybe it's a pictorial Bible story. Just a word. The word of God is able to make a person wise unto salvation. I think we forget that. I really do. Sunday school teachers, You can't afford to take a moment and waste a moment. It is very important time to take the word. The seed is the word. You know that parable about the soils and the seed? At the end of that, Jesus explains, he says, the seed is the word of God. Take that seed and sow it. And children, I want to tell you, when you are taught the Bible, you are given so much. It's such a blessing, and you have an advantage, and you should thank a person every time. Thank your parents, thank your Sunday school teachers, thank those that are teaching the Bible. It was said of Timothy that as a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And praise God for Timothy's mother and grandmother. Those are the ones that are credited to Timothy's knowledge of the Scripture. And Timothy proved to be an incredible asset to the kingdom of God. And I'm wondering how many young men right here, young ladies right here at Waterworks Mennonite Fellowship are going to be incredible assets. And maybe one day, it might be written about you like this, but it can be said, you have known the Holy Scriptures as a child, and it was able to make you wise unto salvation. The knowledge of that, of the Word, brought you to the place one day where either you knocked on the door of your mother and dad's bedroom, or whether it was at devotions and you said, Dad, I need to pray, or whether you came and responded at an invitation, however you came to the knowledge of your sin and needing a Savior. That's what the Bible does. The Bible makes you wise unto salvation. And if you're not saved, you're lost. And lost equals no hope. Oh, the Word of God, treasure it. I have a wonderful treasure, the gift of God without measure. I want to travel together, my Bible and I, okay? A man of the Word delights in the Word. A man of the Word delights in the Word. Psalm 1, I want to bless my wife. May I do that publicly? When the children were growing up, every single time, I think every single day, they had quiet time. Mother's sanity hour. Okay. Quiet time. All the children, they're going to be quiet. No chores, no games, no whatever. Maybe it was a book. But before they went quiet time, they quoted Psalm 23 and Psalm 1. And in Psalm 1, it of course is the blessed is the man who does not walk, does not sit, doesn't walketh not in this council, sitteth not. I'm missing one. Anyway, blessed is the man that doesn't do this, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And I'm wondering, this would, I'll be honest, this point that I put in my notes convicts me. Is the Word of God a discipline, or is it a delight? Many of us, we gotta do it. And disciplines are good. We need disciplines. I need discipline in my life. But delight is not necessarily discipline. His delight, I just love. I know a person personally who was going through a very, very, very difficult time in life. And this was this person's testimony. One of the best times when I go to bed at night and I fall asleep, I just can't wait to get up in the morning to have my time with the Lord. That's a pretty amazing testimony. I just can't wait to get up to have my time in the Word with the Lord. His delight is in the law of the Lord. A man of the Word delights in the Word. And by the way, this message is to be motivational, not to be discouraging, because I think I live in the same world you do. I live in a very busy world and a demanding world, and this message is not intended to make somebody feel like, oh, I don't spend time in, like your measure, your yard, spiritual yardstick is your time in the Word. I'm just saying what the Bible says. His delight is in the law of the Lord. A man of the Word delights in the Word. A man of the Word desires the Word. And the verse that I'm using, that I'm highlighting there is, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that they may grow thereby. Even physical doctor or medical doctors know that appetite is a sign of health. Appetite for spiritual things is a sign of spiritual health. Lack of appetite for spiritual things is an indication that something needs to be revived or repented of. I heard an amazing story of a man that was not a Christian, went to a meeting and gave his life to the Lord. He was a teenager at that time, and the man that was holding the meetings gave this young teenager a Bible. And then before he went home, he looked at him and he said, "Young man, take it, read it, live it. It's your source of survival." And so he went home. And he was instructed to read the book of John. So he read the entire book of John. That night yet. And then he was so intrigued, he read the book of Matthew. Then he read the book of Mark. Then he read the book of Luke. And I think he had a couple more books. And this is what he said. He said, "And then I saw the sun coming up." Desire. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. No, I actually didn't do that. When I got right with the Lord, it was October 31st, 1993. An incredible day of my life. Actually, I did go home and went to bed. I didn't stay up all night. But there was something that sparked a desire. I'm talking about that man. I probably told this story before. I'm getting to the age now where I repeat stories over and over and over again. Sometimes it's bad if it's the same day. But that man that was told, "This is your source of survival," he was later in prison ministry, and he went into a prison to the most solitary confinement, and he tells a story about going in there, and the big door slammed shut, clunk! And he looked around, and to his dismay, he was alone. The guard went out. He was there alone with the most dangerous prisoners in the whole prison. And he was scared, and they started laughing at him. And that's not a good scenario when they're laughing at you and you're scared. And he said, "God, I don't know what to do." And the Lord said, "Just read Isaiah 53. So he opened up his Bible and he read Isaiah 53. And he said, "As I read the Bible, the Word of God, it's like God came and sat right beside me. And the whole atmosphere changed." So he read Psalm 53. I'm sorry. Did I say Psalm? Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. He has borne our sins and sorrows and went to the cross, a prophetic of the cross. Came to the end of it. Now the same men that were laughing, some were crying. All he did, humbly, feebly read the Bible. And then he said, "Would any like to become a Christian and give your life to this Jesus that I read about?" And about three or four said, "I would." And he just prayed a prayer with them. Before he left, somehow he got Bibles. And he got Bibles in their hands and he said, because he knew the effect it had on him, he said, "Take it, read it, live it. It's your source of survival." Fast forward about 15 years, he met a guy on the street. A guy came running up to him on the street. He said, "Hey, are you so-and-so?" "Yeah." "Were you at a so-and-so prison on so-and-so?" "Probably." "Do you remember you read Isaiah 53 and about four of us gave our lives?" "Yeah, I'm one." He said, "Wow." He said, "Okay, wonderful. So you're still walking with the Lord?" "What do you mean? Am I still walking with the Lord? Don't you remember what you did? You gave me a Bible and you said, this is your source of survival. And I took you serious. And so did all the rest. And we're all walking with the Lord." Men of the word, desire the word. Delight and desire, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. I'm guessing that man knew dry spells, because I know I do. I've referenced 1993, and I still remember reading entire books of the Bible in one sitting because I was so hungry. I know what that's like, to have an incredible desire, but I know the dry spells too. I conclude this. Here's my conclusion. The devil will do everything he can to keep you from the word. The devil will do everything in his power to keep you from the word because he knows the power of the word. The word of God is powerful. That's kind of my second point. The word of God is powerful. Hebrews says it is quick. That means alive. It's powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. I should have been flashing one of those swords that are the styrofoam swords that are downstairs, left over from Bible school. I should be flashing that for the children's sake. The word of God is quick. It's alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, the joints of the and the marrow, and it is a discerner of the thought and the intents of the heart. That's an amazing verse that I'm not going to try to unpack, other than saying it is so alive. It is alive. It can give you remas. You know what a rema is? A word from God. I don't know if you remember Val Yoder. He was here. He talked about some of the remas in his life where the word was so alive and speaking directly to what he was going through. One of our greatest remas was we were wrestling of going to Grenada. Should we go? Shouldn't we go? This is back in 1995, I believe it was, 95, 96. And I still remember reading in Isaiah, and I came to the verse that says, the islands wait for your law. And I was like, okay, I think I got it, Lord. Coupled with a few other things. But the word of God is alive, and you are able to read, and God is able to just make it so alive, and it's exactly what you're going through. The word of God is powerful. That's my point. And I'm going to move through this one quickly. There's two sub-points under the word of God is powerful that I'd like to mention. Number one, it cleanses. And the verse that I'd like to use to highlight that is, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to the word of God. So there's something about God's word that is cleansing. I don't know how to explain it. Maybe it's kind of like the blood of Jesus. The Bible says the blood cleanses us from all sin. And I know when it comes to Jesus' blood, we are clean by Jesus' blood positionally. But in practice, I still get dirty hands. I do, because I live in a dirty world. I live in a world of unclean lips. I live in a world of... And sometimes we get dirty hands. Positionally, we're clean through the blood of Jesus, but in practice, I think we do get our hands soiled, and spiritually, somehow we need cleansing, and I think the Word of God is able to do that. I'm not sure what that verse fully means when it says, here's how a young man cleanses his way. There's some cleansing, there's a cleansing agent taking heed to the Word of God. I remember hearing a story about a little boy that said, Mom, I'm done. I'm done going to church. Why? Because I forget everything. I can't even tell you what I learned last week in Sunday school. I can't even tell you what the preacher preached about. I forget it all. I'm not going. And I'm not sure if the mother or the son picked up a bucket with a hole in it. And the subject, the attention changed, shifted to the bucket with a hole in. And the son proved the point. He said, you see, you fill it with water and it's all gone. So why go to church? Mom says, but son, every time the water fills up and leaks out, the bucket gets cleaner. All the dust in the bucket goes out the hole with the water. And I don't know if the boy come back and says, okay, I'm going to church. But the word of God cleanses. And I think even though sometimes I can't remember what I preached about last Sunday, or let alone what I during the day, what I read in devotions in the morning. But there, just be it known, something happens. There's something going on. There's a cleansing agent. The Word of God is powerful. It cleanses. It also sanctifies. Jesus said in John 17, he was praying, and he said, they're not of the world. That's the church. First of all, his disciples, and he says, I pray this for everybody else that's going to believe. He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So, you know, that's a whole nother subject of sanctification, just set apart for God. It's something I don't think we understand fully. When children of Israel, oh, great Sunday school lesson this morning. I don't think I'll ever fully understand all the lessons that are in the Old Testament stories. But the Old Testament, they went into Canaan, and I don't know how many times God said, you're a separate people. Don't learn their ways! And nothing has changed. We live in a very ungodly world. Don't learn their ways. But be so cult. Let everything about you be from the Word. And the Bible will do that. That's what it says. The Word will sanctify you. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them. So if you want to be set apart, not just for sanctification's purposes, not just for just to be different, but you want to really be set apart for God and have godliness all over your life, just be a man of the word. Be a woman of the word. It's the word of God is powerful. It will cleanse. It will sanctify. It will do amazing things in your life. I'm going to wrap it up by the last point by giving you a few practical things. Here's, you know, okay, so we know that we want to be men and women of the Word. I'm going to guess if I ask for a raise of hands, do you want to be a man of the Word, a woman of the Word? Do you want to be a man of faith, woman of faith? I'm going to guess, I hope 100% of adults hands would go up. You would have comprehension of my question. I hope 100%. So how do we do it? We want to be men of the Word, women of the Word. We know there's power of the Word. Here's just six suggestions, and quickly. Number one, memorize it. Hide it in your heart. And I should have put the verse on here that says, Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Memorize. I remember. And that's tough. I admire the Bible quizzers. They'll memorize entire chapters. The 1 Timothy 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Quote right through it. 2 Timothy. And I think this year it's going to be the Gospel of John. I'm not quite sure. But those quizzers and hundreds of them meet for quiz practices and competitions. I don't think they have any idea what is really happening as they hide God's word in their heart. It gets harder as you get older. And some of the older folks said, amen. I remember when I was living in Grenada, one of the other staff and myself said, okay, we're going to start. We've got to start somewhere. Let's start in the Sermon on the Mount. And I still have a vivid memory of going out to Point BBC, one of the nicest, a nice point in Grenada. I can still remember the tree. We propped up against it. And we started quoting. He did first. I went last. I went second. And he got further than me. I didn't like that. No. Hiding God's word in your heart. We don't do enough of that. So I would just like to suggest that we hide God's word in our heart. That's one practical thing you can do. Maybe somebody told me that every time you had to have devotions, I'm quoting somebody that said something to me that I wish I could say I practiced ever since he said it. He said, take an index card and write a verse that you read in devotions on an index card and then pull it out several times through the day. And that's just a practical thing you can do. Hide God's word in your heart. Secondly, pray God's word. I missed my apostrophe and S. Pray God's word. And here again, somebody encouraged me to do this. And I wish I could say ever since he told me. I've done it every day. But I do it. I actually did it this morning because I was preparing for the message. And I often pray for people. And you know how it is when you pray for people? I mean, I pray for you all. I pray for Olive Branch staff. And sometimes you get stuck. Lord bless their day. There's something that comes alive when you have this one specific person that I was praying for just this week. On their prayer card, it says, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and mind through Jesus Christ. So sometimes, because I'm not sure exactly what to pray for them, I take the verse that they chose for their prayer card, and I just pray the verse, Lord, let your peace which passes all understanding keep this person's heart and mind today. And that same day, this person called me and said, text me and said, I need to talk. and they were going through a really difficult decision. Pray God's word. This morning I read Acts 20. And so here's a real simple way how to pray God's word. And the verse that I was looking at, Paul says, none of these things move me, neither I count my life dear unto myself. And that convicted me. So I just prayed to the Lord, there's things that are too dear in my life. And I can't say that none of these things move me. And then Paul says, that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel. And so I just simply prayed it. And I said, God, I just want to finish my course with joy. And then I'm thinking, you know, I don't always have joy when I minister. Do you always have joy when you minister? A way to use God's word powerfully. Somebody told me that, actually it was Andrew Murray. They didn't tell me, I've read it. Andrew Murray says, when you kneel to pray, have your Bible open. And then it becomes a two-way conversation. God speaking to you, and you speak it back to him. You read it, and then pray it back to him. It's a practical way to treasure God's word. Memorize it, pray it. Thirdly, and this is just kind of a overlap of everything I've been saying, is treasure it. And I already read the verse in Psalm 119. It's worth more than 1,000 pieces of silver. I just like to reference a lady named Margaret Nicole. I don't know much about her, but she grew up in communist Bulgaria. The year was, I think it was 1993. It's not too long ago. And it's probably not a surprise to you that countries have often tried to eradicate God's word. And they tried to just totally get rid of it. And Margaret Nicole remembers being in a service with no Bible, and one man came in, and he had a Bible. So it almost seems sacrilegious, but what he did is he took his Bible and he ripped a page out and he gave it. He was giving gifts. He was giving whole pages to people. And she said, I just felt so rich. I had Genesis 16 and 17 all to myself. And then she came to America, and she went into a Christian bookstore, and she literally broke down and sobbed and cried and sobbed and cried, because never in her lifetime did she see entire copies of God's word in different colors, and anyway, treasure God's word. I wonder, maybe it would be good for us to spend a little bit of time reading some history lessons on some of those things. You know, William Tyndale and John Wycliffe, however you say it, want to pronounce his last name, they labored intensely just so they could put God's word in the people's hearts. And they both died for it. In fact, I think it was, Wycliffe was so hated, the Pope ordered his bones to be dug up years later and burned because he was so angry at what he did in getting God's word into the hands of people. Adoniram Judson's another amazing example, how he was in prison translating the Bible into Burmese, and he would hide it in his pillow. And one time the guard came in and stole his pillow. And the guard wanted a pillow, but he didn't realize that he had the Bible in it. And Adoniram Judson didn't know what to do, so he got his wife to make a better pillow. And so he got a better pillow brought into prison, and they agreed to swap. He gave the better pillow for the worse pillow, so he got the word back. And his cry was, oh God, don't let me die. He wasn't in prison saying, just let me get out of here alive. He said, don't let me die until the Burmese people have your saving word in their hands. That was his prayer. Anyway, treasure God's word. Read it through. And I would be tempted to ask for a raise of hands. How many of you read the Bible cover to cover? Steve wants us to hold him accountable this year. If you remember right, he made a commitment to read through the Bible this year. And probably not too many of us have held you accountable, but after church, look out. No, read God's Word. I wonder how many Christians have never read God's Word. And I'm not saying to be spiritual, you got to read it cover to cover every year. I know a lot of people that do it. I'd say there's some of them are men and women of faith. I recommend it, but don't use that as a standard to judge yourself or judge anybody else. Sometimes you want to divert. But I think it's a shame if there are Christians that didn't read God's Word from cover to cover sometime in their life. Read it through. Sometimes you need mega doses. When I get sick, it's no secret in my house. You know what I do? I pound vitamin C pills, probably too many. I probably shouldn't be saying this over the pulpit, but I don't know how many thousand mg vitamin C I take and then drink lots of water. I think it works because it builds your immune. Forget the vitamin C. Sometimes I think we need mega doses of God's Word. I know what it's like to be going through the day and I'm just overwhelmed. And now I can get my phone and have my Bible, have my phone read me the Bible. Isn't that great? People around the world would probably, well, I guess a lot of people have access to that too. Maybe not. But sometimes I remember the whole book of Timothy. You're going through some difficult times. I just overwhelmed Psalm. We've had that in our devotional. Sometimes you need mega doses. I don't know where I'd be, honestly. And everybody's journey is different. Don't let anybody's standard or their journey be your standard or you compare yourself. But for Joyce and I'm not sure where we would be if God wouldn't have made a way for us to have a six-week getaway at SMBI. That was transformational. That's our story. That was just transformational. 6 weeks, intense. So I highly recommend for young folks things like SMBI or IGO or some places where it's that intensity. It's a little out of the norm. You can't live there. You can't live a life there. But I highly recommend it. Read it through. That's obey it, claim it, believe it. I don't have time to unpack that. Every verse in the Bible can either be classified as a fact to believe or a promise to claim or a command to obey. Obey it. Claim it. Lastly, cut out the junk food. When we had, I think we had six children coming home from school at one time. I still remember sometimes the children come home. It's kind of high energy when they come in after a day of school and they come around the table. I think I did it when I was a child, but pound the snacks. Is that kind of a norm? Get the chocolate chip cookies, finish up your potato chips that were in your lunch, wash it down with a sweet drink, and 2 hours later, I'm not that hungry for the supper that you made, Mom. No, that's kind of an exaggeration, but I hope you're getting the point. In my life, I know when I have too much junk food, and I'm talking about news, I'm talking about sports, I'm talking about, I don't do a lot of social media, but I nibble on it a little bit, on my wife's social media. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what your junk food is, but I think you do. Even sometimes just phone calls and even work, and just it whacks your appetite. It sabotages your appetite. So enough said, cut out the junk food, and it'll make a difference for your hunger for the Word of God. Treasure God's Word. Let's all stand. I'd like to pray. And then I think what we're going to do is we're just going to sing that one more time and be dismissed. Father, we come in Jesus' name. Thank you for the Word. Your Word is truth. Your Word sanctifies. Your Word sets us apart. Your Word is powerful. Your Word is alive. Your Word has the ability to change lives, change hearts. Oh, Father, I pray that you would put in our hearts just a fresh love for your Word and to share your Word. Lord, you know each one of us and what we're going through in life. lead us to the right passages in your word. And furthermore, Lord, you know every person in the world, all those that we have come in contact with in a week, you know exactly what they're going through. Make us channels where your word can flow into them. And we need your grace and your power for that. We treasure, we love you, and we love your word. In Jesus' name, amen.